Thank you, Brother Jonathan, for that prayer. I seek an interest in your prayers as we move through the message of the morning. Brother Jonathan's prayer, thought about it, and his prayer for the authorities. The sermon this morning is, how do we teach respect for authority? Well, that's not the title. I'm sorry. I'm at the wrong place in my notes here. Thought that didn't look right. Teaching respect for authority. Teaching respect for authority is what I was assigned this evening out of Allegheny Valley and chosen to bring it here this morning. I trust the Lord can inspire you and fill you with inspiration this morning as we look at this. May not be what you might consider a real inspirational Sunday morning message talking about Jesus' work, but it does touch on it some. I trust that you will find inspiration in the subject. Teaching respect for authority. As I pondered this subject and prayed about it, it'd be interesting to know what you would say is, how do we teach respect for authority? How do you teach respect for authority? Let's look at the terms a little bit. What is respect? What is respect? Respect is high or special regard. High or special regard, esteem, and honor. The Bible speaks to this subject, and we want to look at that in just a bit. A synonym to respect is regard, which I said, special regard. That means to pay attention. Friendly greetings imply such feeling. Friendly greetings. It's a feeling of respect and affection. What is authority? Number one, this is one aspect of authority. A fact, statement, or prior decision used to support a position. All right, so let's say we as a group of people on Wednesday evening, we decide together some kind of rule. We decided together, this is how we're going to do. No children shall take food upstairs in the auditorium at fellowship meals. Okay? That rule becomes an authority. It's an authority. It's a rule everybody knows. It's a statement or prior decision used to support a position. That's an authoritative rule. That's authority. The authority is based in the group decision. Another definition of authority. Webster says is a person appealed to as an expert. Another definition is the right to give commands or to carry out and enforce others' commands. That's authority. A teacher has authority in her classroom. With authority comes responsibility. She has authority. Another definition is simply a person or persons having powers of government. Teaching respect for authority. To teach means to cause to know or understand, to assist in learning how to do something. So this sermon, this subject is for all of us. We're all under authority. We all are teaching something and someone. Now, as I meditated upon this subject, I processed the thoughts of how to go about speaking on this. And I asked a few people, some of my work acquaintances, talked to them about this and asked them, what would you say? How do we teach respect for authority? What would you say? Well, one of the things that came up pretty quickly when I would ask the question, one of the things that came up pretty quickly was, now are you talking about people who deserve respect, or what are you talking about, the ones who really don't deserve that respect? You know, they're administrating. The question that came to me, back to me, was how do you respect those in authority who you feel are not worthy of it? How do you respect them? I also got the response from, and those responses that I got in relation to that question were mostly from the millennial generation, for whatever reason. An older individual from the older generation made the comment how individuals today do not respect themselves. They live with such low self-esteem that they treat others that way as well. They don't respect themselves. Maybe they're into... And I think there's some truth to that. I think there's some truth to that. We live in a society of increasing rebellion and anti-authority expressions. And disrespect for authority abounds. Now, I want to say that as a pastor bringing this sermon, it's almost awkward, but yet I'm not going to allow it to be awkward because I don't mean it that way. Because I appreciate all of you, and I don't feel that we have a disrespect problem here at Chapel. So I just want to say that up front. And I want to look at that more as we go through the sermon here about this idea of respect and how we teach respect for authority. I also understand that in my own home and in my own relationships, I have work to do. This past week, I heard of what happened in the city of Philadelphia. No doubt you have heard of that too. The city of brotherly love, where there were 6 police officers shot. None of them fatal, but still they were shot. By an individual who apparently did not respect authority. What does the Bible say about those in authority? You can turn with me first to Exodus 22 and verse 28. I'd like to look at what the Bible says about authority or those in authority. First of all, Exodus 22 and verse 28. Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. Thou shalt not revile. Revile means to make light of, or bring into contempt. Thou shalt not revile. You will read in Acts 23 and verse 5, where Paul was standing before the high priest Ananias, and he spoke to Ananias rather harshly, and one of them says, revilest thou the high priest so? And Paul says, Oh, I wist not that he was the high priest. Paul brought himself back, and I didn't realize he was the high priest. We turn next to Romans 13. I'd like to notice what the Bible says about authority. Authority in our lives is the civil authority. There's authority in the home. There's many levels of authority. There's authority in the church. Romans 13 is speaking of civil authority. 13 and verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror of good works, terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, and so forth. Verse 6 and 7, it talks about how we are to render to Caesar. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We notice in this verse that the powers, the civil powers, the civil authorities are ordained by God. The powers that be are ordained by God. God is a God of order. God established the headship order. He's a God of order. 1 Peter 2, turn to this one. 1 Peter 2 and 13 to 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Verse 17 would be a respect verse. Honor all men, or we could say respect all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Respect. It's a Bible command. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man. Ephesians 5, verses 5 to 9, talk about servants being obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Talks about doing the will of God from the heart, not doing it with eye service, but doing it from the heart. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13. I think I'm going to read this one. First Thessalonians 5. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. Beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Well, maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So, the Bible teaches, number one, about authority. That authority is a position ordained by God. It is It is a position the civil authorities are ordained by God. So it is God's call. We know ordinations. God calls leaders, and they're called by God and put into leadership. Authority is accountable for how it leads, is another point that the Bible teaches about authority. Authority is accountable. The Bible talks about that the authority or leaders watching for your souls, that they may give, because they need to give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Authority, whether civil or in the church of Jesus Christ, is responsible to watch out for the safety of its charge. It's responsible. I see three things: ordained, accountable, and responsible. Whenever there is a movement of irregularity in any of these three, it brings confusion to the flock. Where there is question, where leadership does an irregular move of some sort, it brings unrest to the group. It brings unrest to the flock. God help us to have transparent leadership, to have leadership authority that is operating in God-honoring ways. Living a life of respect means that one will not only respect those in authority, but he will respect all men. That's a life of respect. Respect for others is a hallmark of one who loves God, I believe. Respect for others is a hallmark of one who loves God. To be disrespectful is to reveal a lack of love for others. Now, how do we teach respect for authority? How do we teach respect for authority? I would like for you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to read a few verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to read verses 1 and 2, and then verses 24 and 25. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now, I'd like to move over to chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Well, that's talking about the traits of a faithful man. I had in my notes here, it's a verse that talks about committing these things to faithful men who can teach others also. I must have failed to write that verse down. I'll have to look at that again. The verse is, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." If someone sees that somewhere, they can tell me which verse it is. But the first point is, we teach respect for authority by first learning respect ourselves. By first learning it ourselves. It's the first point that I have in how we teach respect for authority. And the verses 24 to 25 give us the traits of a faithful man. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Faithful men. We need faithful men today in the church more than ever. We need faithful men who may be able to teach others also. Notice here in verse 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25, notice these traits of a faithful man. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." A faithful man is one who is not argumentative. He is one who is gentle, I see in these verses. He is one who is able to teach. He is one who is patient. He is one who is humble to those who are in opposition to him. We're looking at how to teach respect for authority. And I say that if we as men, dads, or mothers, have not learned how to respect those who we, whether in authority or otherwise, we will have trouble teaching respect to our children or to other people around us, right? If we haven't learned to be respectful, how are we going to teach how to be respectful? And I say that today we need faithful men. Faithful men. Our children, others around us watch us, and they know us. More is caught than taught, they say. And that is true. The church needs faithful men, that they may teach others also. We must first learn respect ourselves before we can teach it. And you know, I'm not so sure that we can teach respect if we have not learned it. I'm not so sure that we can. And number two, how do we teach respect for authority? By consistent parenting. By consistent parenting. A child should learn at a young age that his will is subject to his parents, and he is called to obedience. At a young age, properly administered and consistently applied discipline frees a child from the bondage of himself. Frees a child from the bondage of himself. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Respect is built, we can think of a house that has a foundation. You know, the backhoe comes and digs the foundation, and then the concrete truck comes and puts the foundation in, and there is a solid foundation, and the house is built. And at the end, we say, wow, that is a nice house. Everything is just square and level, and it's a nice house. The foundation of our children is built. Their life journey, the way they handle life and the way they deal with the authorities in their life is built largely by their parents and how their parents relate to them. And I say respect is built when rules and expectations are kept. It is better to have a few rules that are kept than to have an abundance of rules with no enforcement. We're talking about teaching respect for authority. Yes, we struggle with this in our home. But you see what happens when dad gives a rule, gives a directive, and then dad doesn't follow through with it, that makes sure it's taken care of. Well, it makes chaos, doesn't it? And it does not build respect. It does not build respect. We teach respect as parents when our actions are consistent with our word. We teach respect when our actions are consistent with our words. The training of our children must involve both discipline and love. Love and discipline, hand in hand. We love our children. And our love motivates us to draw them to the line, hold them to the line of this is how we do. This is how we relate to other people. This is how we do. We say good morning. We say thank you. We develop courtesies, politeness. The handicapped child that they're relating to, or the minister that they meet, or the officer on the road, or whoever it is, the postmaster. We respect them. We talk kindly to them. We don't try to be smart and show off. But we be kind. One of the things that I needed to get used to when I was ordained pastor was that people sometimes treat you different than what you were before you were pastor. Now, I wanted people to just treat me the same. Now, what I mean, I don't mean it in a bad way. But I began to understand that, you know what, by nature of what happened to me and the calling that I was given, I need to not, like, run away from this. People want to respect you. They want to, whatever it might be. And it was a little bit for me to get used to that, because, well, we'll just leave that where it is. Little children that would come through and shake my hand, and mommy and dad would be with them, and it's beautiful to see parents teaching respect. God bless you all in your efforts in that. Effective parenting can happen when parents understand that they too are under God's authority. Colossians 4, verse 1, talks about masters giving unto their servants and knowing that they too, maybe I'll just read that here. Colossians 4, and verse 1, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Now, that's talking about masters, but we as parents also are under authority, and we are accountable to God for how we train our children. If there is disrespect being portrayed in any form, in any authority, in any establishment, if there is disrespect being portrayed, it is wise to consider what may be causing the disrespect. Now, we understand that sometimes people just respond the way they do to certain things. Where leadership needs to draw a line or give a directive, it's not always appreciated by everyone. And sometimes there's things that arise. But sometimes, sadly, there can be some irregularities in the authority too. So I say that in our homes or wherever, we do well to monitor how we are relating to our children, how we're relating to others who answer to us, school teachers. We do well to stay close to God and His Word and to others, and allow others to look into our life and see how we are doing. Number three, we teach respect to authority when we refuse retaliation when mistreated. Now, I want to turn for this point to 1 Samuel 24. And I invite you to turn there. I want you to see this story, because it blessed my heart again as I read it. And I trust it will bless yours. The story of David. When we refuse retaliation when mistreated by authority, we teach respect for authority. 1 Samuel chapter 24, and I want to read a few verses here. Starting at verse 3, this is David when he spares Saul's life. And I want you to notice the respect that David had for the Lord's anointed. And he came to the sheepcote by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see ye, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand? For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Now thou and know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in mine hand, and I have not sinned against thee, but thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. I appreciated that story again as I read it. When we refuse retaliation when mistreated by authority, we teach respect for authority. David respected Saul. He would not lift up his hand against the Lord's anointed because he recognized Saul's position and Saul's authority. David's heart smote him. He's cut off the skirt and his heart smote him. I believe David felt inside of him that he went too far. He went too far. Saul is a sad example of one in authority who failed to honor God and understand that the authority he had was given to him by God and he was under authority. Rather than dealing with his own heart issues, he began to take it out on those who were close to him. Do you believe David's men learned a little bit about respect for authority? I believe they did. You remember that the men who were with David were men who were distressed. They were bitter of soul. They were men who were in debt. They were men who were, they saw this as an opportunity for David to get back at Saul. But David says, no, I'm not going to lift up my hand against him. And I believe in that instance, David taught his men something. Last point, number four. We teach respect for authority simply by honoring authority. Honoring means a valuing authority. Do you value the authorities in your life? Do you value them? I know you do. But sometimes we get frustrated, don't we, when the township is requiring this, or the state is requiring this, another tax, or another whatever it is. And we might be tempted just to get a little frustrated sometimes. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, fear God, honor the king. 1 Timothy 5:17, elders that rule well, count worthy of double honor. Ephesians 6:2, honor thy father and mother. Romans 13:7, we read that, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We honor authority by willing obedience. We honor authority by lightening the load. We honor authority by respecting their office. We honor authority by paying our taxes. We honor authority by submission. We honor authority. And I say, as each of us lives our life individually, we are teaching something. Our children hear us, others hear us, we're teaching something. I believe the Bible also teaches that there is a proper way to appeal to authority. We can think about the story of Paul when he says, I appeal unto Caesar. I think that there's a proper way. Where there is a need to appeal, there's a need to sit down and talk. I believe there's a proper way to do that. And it needs to be a safe place, and it needs to be authority structures, whether it's pastor, the ministerial team, to the congregation, or otherwise, thinking about that in particular here, there needs to be open communication where the ministry team can feel free to talk to the laity, and the laity can feel free to approach the ministry team with questions. There just must be that healthy relationship within the body. It's my burden and my heart for us here at Chapel that we would have that and we could freely communicate together where it's not one against the other. And I don't feel we have that at all. But it's my heart's desire and burden. Respect for authority, in conclusion, respect for authority is a Christian imperative. What does that word mean? Imperative means an essential or urgent thing. Respect for authority. We live in a world of disrespect. It abounds and abounds. By nature, we are not respectful. Respect is something we learn. Finally, how we speak about authority will reveal what is in our heart. Let's teach our children common courtesies. Let's teach them to be obedient. Let's love them with a heart of love. You know, it's not always easy to obey. Sometimes there are things that are required of us that are not easy to obey. And sometimes in time, we understand the importance then of why this rule was placed. Let's try to be, we teach respect for authority with patience and love, humility, not soon angry when our authority is challenged. Let's grow together, serving God and loving each other. Let us kneel to pray.